Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and once again, time for Twit's audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, really. That's all. Just go to twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. Your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. And thanks for your continued support.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. LegalZoom's helped more than a million people with DBAs, LLCs, incorporation, and more. Visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout for special savings. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/android. And by BarkBox. BarkBox paw picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys for your dog and ships them right to your door. To receive a free month of BarkBox with your 6 or 12-month subscription and free shipping, visit getbarkbox.com/twit. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode number 306, recorded on Tuesday, February 21st, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Hello, team. Assemble. Ooh. Unite. We are here.
Team AAA.
And strong, because we have an extra person
at
the table
today. Would you
say
we're stronger together?
I think we're strong. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We are a team. We're like Voltron here.
Captain Planet. Sorry, my generation.
Okay.
No, that was
yeah, that works too.
I remember that.
There's crossover there.
Yeah.
But we're bringing in a fourth to complete this Voltron Captain America thing. That is, of course, Father Robert Palace.
Actually, if you're going to do Voltron with the lions.
I know.
Not well,
the
we've got Voltron. Brian.
Because everyone
got Brian.
Yeah, we've got Brian.
Is also.
When our team assembles.
That's exactly.
He's the left leg of the team.
Got it.
This actually works because Flo could be Princess Aurora, whatever her name was. Remember, there was the one girl in the blue lion.
There was at least one girl.
Yeah. and I can be either the geeky kid or the fat guy. I think they were the legs, right?
Hunk.
We'll let you choose, Father. We'll let you choose that. How's it going? It's great to have you here.
It's actually really good. We got some weird weather going on in the Bay Area, but you know, nothing can stop us from our appointed Android rounds.
And we can build this thing together.
None of us actually know the words except for that part.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to stop us now. Twit.tv/Twyatt. Also, Know How. I was just on Know How a couple weeks ago.
Actually, that was one of our most popular episodes in the last month or so. People love the howl. We got to have you on more.
Wow. So please. You're good for ratings.
Please go on, please. No, it was a lot of fun. We did MAME stuff. Well, yes. MAME stuff around the Raspberry Pi.
And, you know, we've done MAME stuff in the past. We've done a lot of the Retro Pi, but the fact that you actually did that project where you put together a cabinet that could sit on a table, it's just, it was sweet. It's beautiful. And I spent most of the episode just playing elevator action.
Yeah.
Well, that's wow.
I mean, that'll pass.
Great game. I knew you could get so much entertainment out of an elevator.
I know, right? Well, spies in elevators with guns jumping around like pixels. It's, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Pretty much that's exactly what it is. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
It's been far too long. We have some news to talk about. I sent out a panicked email last night. I was like,
all right,
in the world of slow news weeks, this is possibly the slowest Android news week there ever was. That's because Mobile World Congress is next week.
And GDC.
Sucking all the news away.
Yeah.
We've got two huge conferences next week. We've got Mobile World Congress over in Barcelona, and then we've also got GDC here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And this is sort of like what used to happen before CES, where you'd have a six-week blackout because everyone was saving their announcements for the big show. Well, we're getting that now for Android.
Yeah. And we're going to start to enter into, we'll long for the days when we had nothing to read.
Yes.
Because I think now, heading into the summer, heading into Google I.O., which is only a couple of months away, which is weird. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the next version of Android.
Already?
Because apparently it's time to do that. Jide's Remix Singularity. Fleur One. You brought the Fleur One. We've also got the, is it the LaFelt Baselet?
LaFelt Baselet.
LaFelt Baselet. Very curious about that. HTC's plan to ditch the low end and a whole lot more. But Brian, it's time for the news.
It may be a slow news week, but just like Voltron, we've pulled something together. And it's called Android News.
Excellent.
And good
news. Low-hanging fruit. Excellent.
Thank you.
And I was trying to transition there smoothly.
Do it.
Good news this week is that Google I.O. registration has opened.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, it's open now.
Yes, it's open now until February 27th. It ends February 27th. That's Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
And so was it like this last year? But it, from what I read, they are going to notify those chosen to be
the
lucky enough
ones,
to,
maybe
to
you would
pay
call
$900
them.
For a ticket the next day.
They did the lottery. They started that last year or 2 years ago.
They did the lottery, but did they announce it the next day, which is what they're doing here? Like, it's like, okay, we closed it on
I don't remember.
28th,
I think
we'll let you know.
I don't remember, but they've given developers enough head time to let them know this is when it's happening. We already know it's happening in Mountain View. Mm-hmm. Get your hotels. Hopefully you have. I'm probably going to sleep in a marsh somewhere. It's the South Bay.
Oh, the marsh.
I think we should get an Android RV, and we'll just park it right outside of the amphitheater, and that'll just be the home base for the next 3 days.
I like the idea of that. We can podcast from the RV.
There you go.
Not sharing a bathroom.
We'll get a smaller RV. That will be your RV.
Thank you. I like this idea.
Or not.
Yeah, smaller IV. For the show.
Well, you need to
that
get your...
That will help with the heat stroke and the...
well, you need to get your fluids. Don't you guys know? It's like the new thing that you do in LA now. Like, you call the needle, the doctor with the pouch to come over and, like, give you all your fluids.
Like,
all the celebrities
do
it now. Yes, because they would rather do that instead of drinking water and living a healthy life.
Now, I got to ask you this.
I see what you mean.
Jason, you and I were both at the Shoreline last year.
Yeah.
And yes,
Flo was there.
I was there as
and
well.
You were there.
I got sunburned.
Everyone got sunburned. That's why they were giving those little sunburn kits inside the freebies. But I mean, yes, it was nice to have more space. Yes, it was nice to have the tents. But I mean, it wasn't a great environment. I kept thinking, yes, Moscone may have been smaller, but it was a lot easier to get into the talks that you actually wanted to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you lined up 3 hours in advance, you weren't going to get into the sessions that you wanted to actually get and actually be able to see them.
Yeah, it did seem like there was more necessity around lining up in advance, which means that you miss other things. I mean, maybe there was a little bit of that at Moscone. What's up, Ron?
That sounds like no different than any largely attended
big
event. Like Padre, you could have just described to me numerous Comic Cons I've gone to where there's all these great things going on, but you're not going to get in because you're not waiting online for 6 hours beforehand.
Except for Hall H.
One thing, which was if you were media. You could bypass every line and just walk straight in. And that got me wrong because, I mean, it's a developer conference. You've got developers who actually paid close to $1,000 to be there. And I'm this little media guy, and I'm walking in and out of sessions, but I'm taking a seat. And, I mean, it was always that, like, the first six or seven rows in every tent was just media people. And I'm like, that's wrong. That's, like, it can't be like that. I think that's why it struck me.
I think they should just have the media should be here lines for the really important talks, the ones that are newsworthy, not maybe developer centric. You know, maybe have a little like symbol in the app.
What would the symbol be
a little,
for
like,
media?
A little pork pie hat, little pork pie hat, or whatever that the media wears.
Well, I mean, just
no, it'd be a dunce cap, is what it would be in 2017.
In the media area, we've got wired internet, which is what you would need to actually, because all the talks were streamed. But the problem is, if you were sitting in the middle of the complex, your Wi-Fi was horrible because there were thousands of other people trying to access it. But if you had a wired line, you could watch all the talks and not take up a space.
Yeah, and maybe that's kind of the differentiation, at least between not getting into events at Google I/O versus other events, is that, well, I mean, if really, what's the worst thing that can happen? You end up going online after the event. Right. You catch up on the things that you missed. There's something different, though, about being there for it and... You know, that's why people pay $900 to go, is to be part of that whole experience. So they really want to get into these things. But you have to accept that you're not going to get into every single thing.
We know now, because last year was sort of like, is it really going to work this way? But we know now they don't give things away. It's a real developer conference.
That's over. Yeah.
The hardware giveaways are over. Mm-hmm. So hopefully all the people who just came so they could get the free stuff will realize it's not that anymore. Unless you're actually a developer or you actually want to know what are the trends inside of Android, there's mm-hmm. no reason for you to come. There's no reason for you to take up a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Flo?
But I want to go.
What?
Go.
You don't want to go?
I do want to go.
Oh, you said I don't want to go.
I do. Like, oh, well, there we go. It's a good environment to be in. But, I mean, $900 yeah. is quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, this isn't...
We're paying that to be in a concentrated place around other people, like-minded individuals, developer information. I mean, it's a lot of networking. That's the value.
Did you go to the concert? True. Did either of you go to the concert?
Yes.
Who was the concert?
It was Charlie X...
XCX and Kygo was the...
and Kygo, yeah.
Yeah. He's a really... Actually, he's very big in the progressive music scene. It's like melodic progressive. It's very like Scandinavian.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's
good. It's really good development music, actually. Like, it's the kind of music that you put on and you're just like...
That's why they did it.
Yeah, I was going to make that point. I was going to say it's another chapter in making us feel old, but it probably lines up with a lot of the young developers.
It's just Hackers. It's just the movie Hackers, Ron. It's just different music.
You're talking about Unce music, right?
Yeah, it's just different. Yeah, it's just this generation's Unce music.
Yeah. I watched Train. I actually really enjoyed that concert, but because I'm old, and then we also had what's his face, not David Bowie, but
Jane's Addiction, Billy Idol,
Billy Idol, and Billy Idol. He doesn't sound good live.
Well, he's very old now.
Yeah, he's been through the ringer a little bit. I think
drugs.
That's right.
Well, Singer.
So whenever you start talking about Billy Idol in a conversation, it's time to move on.
Yes, this is true.
And I can't think of anything better to move on to than our friend of the show, Hiroshi, teasing us a little. You know, we finally got used to how to say nougat or nuga, whatever. But it's time to start thinking about the next version and what it will be called. Hiroshi Lockheimer, friend of the show, is the master dessert troll on Twitter. He put up this image of an Oreo cake.
Android diabetes? Sure.
I love Oreos so much. Not the new Oreos, but these Oreos featured right here.
I enjoy Oreos as well, but actually there is a Oreo flavor version of a cookies and cream ice cream with Oreos in it that is like, I will always go to that in the freezer at the supermarket. That is fantastic.
What brand?
I think they made part of Breyers or some ice cream, but it's like cookies and cream with Oreos and it's amazing. So. But so that said, let's go around the table with what we think Android O will be called.
Man, I would need to prepare for this. I don't know. Father Robert.
Well, I'm not going to go with the obvious. It ain't going to be Oreos.
I do not think
I'm going to give it to you right now. You ready?
Go.
Oatmeal cookie.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oatmeal raisin.
Why would it be that boring?
Cookie. Well, yeah.
I mean, I could go with an oatmeal cookie. I like oatmeal cookies.
Really?
Orange juice?
They're not a dessert. They're half a health food.
Ooh. No. Health food can be a dessert.
Yeah.
This is Google. This is the Google lawn we're talking about. You're really going to see an oatmeal cookie there with like all these other tasty treats that, you know.
Spike your blood sugar. You give me a choice of a cookie and I will go for an oatmeal raisin cookie probably right after the chocolate chip. Like it's up there. It's definitely.
I like an oatmeal raisin cookie.
Not even a snickerdoodle. You wouldn't pick a snickerdoodle.
I don't like snickerdoodle.
I'm actually a fan.
Or a white chocolate macadamia. Yeah.
See, I'm having a hard time finding desserts online. There's got to be some.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like that's easy, but maybe not. Maybe we're going to be in the same nougat world. Like,
maybe they'll skip.
I feel like with N, there really were not many options, and they had to settle for nougat. But that's my own personal bias coming through, I guess.
I really think oatmeal raisin is really the only kind of dessert-y.
Okay, but it can't be oatmeal raisin because that's not a global thing. Like, people don't eat oatmeal raisin cookies in, like, Croatia, okay? Or maybe they do. Somebody has to Google this for me. I don't know.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
No. But I'm just, like, assuming it's going to, you know, nougat is world.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be Obatu.
Obatu.
O-B-B-A-T-T-U.
And this is a treat
This is a traditional lip-smacking sweet dish that's typically made on festival days like Varamaha, South India.
You never know. Obatu.
Obatu.
Okay.
It could be. Yep,
wait, Indian. There's a native Alaskan dessert. It's made out of reindeer fat and berries. I think that might start with an O. Oh, no, that's an agudic. Is it agudic or agudic?
I can't see some people eating that, by the way, as a delicacy. The reindeer and the berries.
It sounds disgusting.
The sweet and the savory.
Yeah, savory, and then you toss a bunch of sugar in it. How is that any different from anything we eat?
Well, what's funny is in an article from October 2013, Florence Ion wrote that we just picked all the dessert names for all the future versions of Android. So in 2013, do you remember what you thought it would be?
No, what did I write?
Oreo.
Oh.
Yeah, I still think that. Because Oreo is a worldwide phenomenon.
Right.
That's true. I mean, if you think about old desserts that everyone will recognize at first glance, it would be Oreo.
But they've got to get Nabisco to play. They got to go up to those fat cats.
Which will be
Nabisco.
Fine because they already have that with Nabisco from Kit Kat.
Kit Kat is not Nabisco.
It is. That's Nestle. Hershey's, sorry. I was thinking Nestle.
Leo Nisio thinks it's going to be Ovaltine.
But nobody knows what Ovaltine is.
Interesting.
It's just a thing here.
Kit Kat is owned by Nestle worldwide, except the U.S. And in the U.S., it's the Hershey Company.
Right. Man, Oreo is the only one on this small list on Android Central that I found that actually has any sort of recognition worldwide.
Oh, interesting. The Oreo was introduced March 6th, 1912, 104 years ago.
Wow, that's a lot of history. See, it's not just a sandwich cookie.
And strangely enough, the other night, I think I ate a cookie from the start of that company because it was disgusting.
Oh, really? The one of their very first
Oreos are
they
great.
Ever made.
Well, yeah, Oreos are great when they come right out of the pack. But even if they've been sitting outside for a tiny bit and have been able to absorb some of the atmospheric moisture, they're disgusting.
Oh, I like kind of moist Oreo.
No.
I'm okay with them.
Oh,
I'm okay. I don't mean a crunchy Oreo. Was it wrong of me?
No. I'm amazed that we're going so far off the rails.
We're going so deep. We're going deep on Oreos.
Anyway, well.
What I've realized is we're all very hungry because we keep talking about food.
We can't talk about food anymore.
Wait. There is one important question. That is, does anyone on the panel actually eat Oreos as a cookie or do you all separate them first?
I eat it as a cookie.
Really?
Yeah. I mix it up. I'll do both. I'll separate them. I'll lick the center and I'll eat the cookie.
You won't do the Batman with your two front teeth, like scrape the bottom and top and do a Batman signal? Hmm.
I've never done that.
I have to disassemble them. I cannot eat them if they're not disassembled.
Okay, so building off of Father Robert's question, do you go double stuff?
Oh, no. I hate the cream. I throw the cream away.
Oh, I love the cream. I love the double.
I love the cream, too.
I like the cookie.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I like the double stuff.
No. Yeah.
You're wrong.
No.
Anyways.
You're wrong.
You are wrong.
Bad opinions today.
All right. Hey, let's talk about something else, Android, that has nothing
related
to do with food. Actually, more related, maybe. Jide Technologies, company behind Remix OS, which I keep meaning to play around with. I tried to install it on my Pixel C earlier this morning. I went through the process, and when I rebooted, it was still my old version of Android.
Oh,
so I don't know.
Crap, that means you need a weekend day.
I don't want to do that. I mean, yeah, it's actually a pretty easy process through ADB, but for whatever reason,
it didn't stick on
my
tablet.
Sometimes
you just need a weekend day.
I don't want to do that, though.
I know.
Anyways, Jide announced a new mobile version for smartphones to be released in the second half of 2017. It has a new feature called Remix Singularity. So basically, a smartphone user simply plug their phone directly into the HDMI of a monitor, connect Bluetooth keyboard, Bluetooth mouse, and the OS will scale
into
the screen in a full desktop environment.
You can plug it
into your TV, and it would recognize that you're plugging it into a TV and give you a different experience for a TV and a TV mode that's optimized for things like watching content, playing games. It would exist on your smartphone so that when you're in smartphone mode, it's just like a more or less a vanilla version of Android for your phone. So it's kind of like your phone is driving all these different experiences based on what you're plugging it into. Does this sound cool to you guys?
This is Continuum.
Yeah, it's like Windows Continuum.
It is.
That's very cool.
But I mean,
I was gonna say Remix and as well as the new Cyanogen. What is the new Cyanogen?
Oh, Lineage?
Lineage,
yes. Jason, like you, I want to sit down and play with Remix and Lineage, but I just don't have the time.
Yeah. Takes a little bit of time. I I didn't really have the time this morning, but I looked at the walkthrough and I had the file and I was like, oh, well, this is actually really easy. So I'll let this happen while I do my other work. And then I rebooted and it was still my old version of Android. Nothing had changed, even though I went through the whole process. So anyways, I have stuff to figure out.
It's really easy to say that this is sort of a ripoff of Continuum, but Continuum was a new form factor, but it wasn't a new idea. I mean, people have been doing this with mobile devices for a very, very long time.
Fair. True.
There is a vendor at Mobile World Congress next week that they have a phone and a Chromebook. And the idea is there's actually a dock where you put the phone and they're saying, oh, it's, you know, so you'll never lose your phone again. And it sounds like a great idea until you start saying, well, what happens when I want to upgrade my phone? What happens when I want to upgrade the Chromebook?
Nope.
No. And also that's weird.
Yeah, it is, right?
It's weird.
It was something that I wanted when I was a kid, but as I got older, it's like I don't need the docking Voltron thing.
What you're describing reminds me of what is it? The Asus Padfone?
Yes. Terrible.
The phone that docks into your tablet.
Not a good idea.
That was amazing. Oh, that was amazing. We need more of that. I want hardware that makes Flo uncomfortable.
It does make me uncomfortable.
That should be a requirement in the spec. It should be some sort of weird connecting things that aren't supposed to connect that way, and that's genius.
When you go to the product site and it has the like technical specifications and the big grid of things, one of the entries will be makes Flo comfortable, and there would be a check next to it.
Yes. See, that's the opt-in version of that, Jason. Right. Makes Flo comfortable versus
the branding for all about Android, actually.
And you know, you don't need Jide. You don't need Jide to make this happen on your Android phone, because if you've got a USB-C device, you've already got the ability to have it charge and connect a keyboard and mouse. And then there's several monitors now that have the casting ability built into the monitor.
True. Right, but that's casting. And this is actually a little different in the sense that it actually creates its own tailored desktop environment that more resembles a PC. I don't know. Like, I feel like we've seen some devices that do this where it's like, it's Android. And then when you want it to be a desktop environment, it's a desktop environment. But I don't know if there's proof that people actually want to do that with Android necessarily. Like, I feel like it's been played around with, and it's never been a very successful subgenre.
However, I'm very
interested to see how Remix is doing it, because people are, you know, at least enthusiasts are pretty jazzed about
it. Oh, yeah. It's a pretty neat concept, but I sort of think about it in the realm of, you know, when the... Okay, this is just an example. But when the iPad first came out, people were asking, like, is this OS X? Is this, like, a version of OS X? And why didn't they put OS X on this? They already have a great operating system or whatever. So, but the idea is that you can't have, sometimes the desktop operating system is not really well translated into that other mobile environment platform that's going on. Mm-hmm. And Android, as it is on its own, is just not...
It's not a desktop operating system.
I don't think desktop. It is... I mean, even just using the Chromebook, which I, you know, very much enjoy, and I love this little thing, but it's a learning curve from the desktop operating system.
They're making the exact same mistake that Microsoft made when they tried to do 8. Like, oh, it's going to be the same experience across mobile and desktop. And people realized, no, that's stupid. No, I don't want that.
That's the whole
point.
My
desktop should be a desktop. My mobile should be a mobile.
That's why we have...
And they should be able to communicate in ways that make them work together
seamlessly.
Well.
Seamlessly, yes.
But I think, okay... I'm a bad person to judge a solution like this, because I know I would hate it. Because if I was using this as a desktop, I would be thinking of all the things I would be doing if I actually had a desktop or a laptop. Mm-hmm. If I actually had the power, like I could be editing video, or I could have 15 different windows and connect it to 7 different monitors. But again, I know that I'm not, and no one on this panel is the typical user.
Yeah.
Who also, by the way, could actually use a Chromebook full time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is good for the normals.
The norms.
I feel like it's still too PC for, not PC, not politically correct, but too many like components.
Okay.
There's too much going on. There's too much going on with the one device. The device, it's like the operating system is trying too hard to be everything. Okay.
And that's the crux of the project. Be good at one particular. Let's prove that it can be everything.
Which is what? Go ahead.
To be that counter argument, I like the idea of carrying all my stuff in one little kind of device, and then I can just plug into whatever screen I can get into. That's a very future-y science fiction idea if you think about it. Mm-hmm. It's the idea like I'm on my phone, I've got a little 5-inch tablet screen, I've got a big 40-inch TV, I can just plug in whatever and be working and be functional. If the operating system is smart enough, the point you made, Flo, is spot on about the desktop operating system, operating differently than a mobile operating system, but OS X, Windows, even Linux and all this stuff have so much years and years and years of development going into that experience. Nobody's thinking about it from the ground up as if, okay, you've got this central brain of a little device that you carry into, and how do you plug into different interfaces? I think that's really interesting. I think trying to square peg round hole Android into doing that might not be the answer, but somehow might have the answer. So. Mm-hmm.
Somewhere.
You know, it's interesting because to that point, Brian was with me when we were playing with this a little bit. We did it at Lenovo World, and then we did it when we went to IFA in Berlin, where all these vendors had their cast services on. And so we were taking over video screens, just going, I wonder if I could, oh yeah, look, it's up on that screen. And so, I mean, that does exist. But Ron, would you ever feel comfortable going to, say, cover an event with just your phone and not an ultrabook, not a laptop?
No, of course not. Right? Because right now that's not. It's funny because for a little while when I was in between laptops and stuff like that, I remember I used the Nexus 9 with a Bluetooth keyboard, and that was mind-numbingly difficult and annoying for many different reasons because it's a computing, typing kind of based environment to a touch, with a touch operating system. But I think that if somebody developed an operating system that can be an all-in-one, I think it's possible. I don't know. I got a dream that it could happen. So
yeah. Keep the dream alive, y'all.
It's all about the future.
Yeah. Speaking of the future, it's not really a future. It has nothing to do with it.
This is kind of the past, actually.
This is the past. It was an email that
– or the present.
Excuse me. We received from Paul from New Jersey, which has recently become a state that I hold very dear and true to my heart for some strange reason. Hi, AAA Squadron. Thought this article would be of interest. Link.
He included the link.
It's coming. Sorry. One pet peeve, which I'm sure registers with others, are untimely, disruptive, and otherwise promotional notifications. Examples: you haven't used this app in a while. Tell us why. This restaurant is hot near you. A weather notification, 10 minutes after I just swiped on away. I, for one, will be tweaking notification priorities instead of shutting them down completely, as was the only solution in the past for the above infractions.
Yeah, basically what he's talking about is the System UI Tuner, which is a hidden menu in Android.
Right.
And I'm trying to remember if we ever actually talked about this on the show. I'm sure it's come up here and there maybe, but
I've written this how-to like once or twice because it was introduced in Marshmallow. Or Lollipop.
It may have been introduced in Marshmallow, but it became a hidden menu.
Yeah, it was in Lollipop.
Or something. Anyways.
Oh, wait. What? It was hidden in Marshmallow too.
And you could review it by tap holding on the the gear?
Yeah, and then it does spinny thing.
Well, I bet a bunch of people don't even know that it exists. So if you open up your – well, here, I'll show you. Here, I've got a phone. That's what we do here. All right, so if you go up here
– go to your notifications panel.
Notification panel, and basically I already have it active. You can see because the gear is there. I'll go ahead and undo it. I think if I hold it down, it undoes it. So it removes it. So now you can see, hopefully – down here, there is no UI tuner setting, right? So
down in the settings panel.
Down the settings. Thank you. Yes, I need to be better about describing. So if I tap and hold on that settings button in the notification pane, I've now activated a new menu item.
You'll see a little prompt.
It comes up there. We'll go ahead and tap in there. It says fun for some, but not for all. This gives you extra ways to tweak and customize the user interface. And it's not a huge amount of settings in here. Like, this is a status bar, so you can toggle on or off the things that will actually show up at the top of your status bar. For example, if I don't need Bluetooth up there, I could remove that. And you can see it kind of disappear, right, when I take that off. So now it won't be shown when I'm connected to a Bluetooth. But I do want that. Down here, this is something that I always turn on, battery. I put on show percentage.
Yes.
Always show percentage. And that
do, Do you remember that weird thing we had to install to get that before they added this?
There was an app that you had to install to kind of modify things to do it. You can't see it because my battery is half charged, but it always shows me a numeric value of what my battery is charged at there. I just find that easier than like trying to decrypt in my brain what that symbol means. How you show time up there. There's just a bunch of ways in this expanded settings menu to kind of tweak things a little bit further. Maybe things that not everybody wants to do, but it's nice to have. Ways to control, you know, what's shown in with your volume controls. Now I'll go ahead and end that. Now I always get this do not disturb slider where I wouldn't before. See, I think now it goes away. Yeah. And then this is what Paul was talking about specifically, power notification controls. So what you can do is I can activate this, and now instead of in my app settings having either notification on or off, I believe. Now I've got 6 different levels that I can set my notification controls so that, for example, one app, maybe I want to do, you know, where it shows everything. It always shows a peak. It allows for a full screen interruption, and it shows at the top of the notification list. Or maybe I want to ramp that down so that it never shows me that little peak highlight and it prevents a full screen interruption. You can play around with it so that different priority apps on your device have permission to do different things when it comes to notifications.
So. I have to say, I played with, when I first went with Cyanogen, there was an app for this to tweak the UI, and I really screwed up my phone because there was a heading for debug capacitive screen. I'm like, oh, what's that? And basically, it turned off the capacitive touchscreen. So I'm like, how do I get back in? So I actually had to do a hard reset of the OS.
Oh, no.
And to get it all back. I'm like, okay, I'm not going back
in
there.
You turned off the one, like, important function.
There had to have been some sort of way to get it back. Well, I mean, if it's a debug mode, then there has to be.
The thing is, I was like, okay, I'll hook up, like, a mouse or a keyboard.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But every time I plugged it in, on the screen popped up, do you want to enable this USB device? I'm like, what?
Yes. How is take a voice input.
I can't touch
that's
it anymore.
I would imagine, like, I would wonder if maybe it would survive a restart. Well, I'm sure you restarted and it would survive that. And
So I power cycled it and no. So I had to do the whole, you know, hold down volume and restart power, which was, you know, it was time anyways. The OS was getting kind of messed up, but
it was time.
Or safe mode.
I could have tried that. Booty, but I was late, and I'm like, I need this for know-how tomorrow. So
Yeah, totally.
But, you know,
that's just easier.
The tweak UI, they have made it much better because it doesn't have all the functions it used to have. Like I remember you used to be able to say show the the individual screen presses.
You're talking about in the developer settings, right?
Yeah.
In the developer
the
settings.
The touches, yeah.
And I used to turn that on phones of people I didn't like because it would drive them crazy. Like, yeah, I don't understand why that keeps showing up.
Yeah,
it's a weapon, folks. It's a weapon.
That's so mean.
The show taps, is that what you're talking about?
Show the taps.
Oh, no.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
You're just drawing on the screen.
So yes, that's another menu altogether. That's developer settings, and I believe that's if you go into about phone, you find kernel version.
You get to tap it 7 times.
Tap it a bunch of times, and then it'll unlock a developer mode, and then you get access to a bunch of other things in there that you may or may not want to press, because if you do, you might be frightened by what you see.
I turn on things like show GPS coordinates at all time, and so it's like a little box up on the top screen. I'm like, what is this on here?
Father Robert is in the house.
That's
welcome.
All right, Ron.
All right. Well, yeah, so on that note, we want to thank LegalZoom for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And so listen, experts all agree. I agree with the experts that 2017 is shaping up to be a great year for small business. Approval rates for business loans are up. So is consumer confidence, which means that National Small Business Month at LegalZoom is coming at the perfect time. You need a lot more than good timing to launch a successful business. Getting set up the right way is so important. LegalZoom's helped more than 1 million people with DBAs, LLCs, incorporation, and more. You also need good advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but their network of independent attorneys provide legal advice in 48 states. Running a business is also about using the right tools for success. That's why LegalZoom is pulling a ton of helpful resources together all in one place to make life a little easier for business owners. March is National Small Business Month. It's right around the corner. So keep listening and check out LegalZoom.com now for offers that are headed your way. And I cannot underscore, as someone who is a small businessman himself, I have several LLCs and companies incorporated under me. Getting it right the legal way the first time saves you a huge headache down the road. Take LegalZoom up on this offer. Trust me. So whether you're thinking about starting a business or already run one, you won't want to miss out. In the meantime, save more when you enter promo code AAA at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com and enter the promo code AAA. And we thank LegalZoom for their support and for being awesome with great legal advice. That's LegalZoom.com and a promo code AAA.
Thank you, LegalZoom. All right. It's time for hardware that we have. Because we have hardware, which is what I meant by when I said like that.
That could be a whole separate segment, like
hardware that we have. Here's Flo's like toy box of hardware.
Have Flo's hardware shack.
Flo's
although
hardware
today
shack.
Your shack is one item, but one really powerful item.
Yeah, it's so you might have been noticing that I've been wearing this thing on my wrist.
Does it tell time?
This does not tell the time. So I'm kind of not enjoying wearing this. I'm probably actually gonna take it off after this demo.
Is it cutting off the circulation?
No, it's just you know, guys, this is my issues with wearables. It's just like, this is not like, I don't wear stuff like this, but I like the concept behind this. So what this is, what I'm wearing on my wrist, which is what you're wondering, is this is a subwoofer. This is a tiny little subwoofer that you wear on your wrist, and it vibrates along to your music, to the bass in your music.
Do I want that?
Okay, so let me explain.
Use case.
This is called the Lofelt Basslet. It's called the basslet, right? Because it's a little bass wristlet.
Okay.
And it's created by a German company. And the Germans, as you may or may not know, are really into progressive house music.
Well, they invented the Unz.
It's
a German innovation.
They did. That's true.
You should get the guy that was at Google I.O. last year for this.
Yeah, well, he's Swedish. Actually, he's Dutch. He's from the Netherlands. I looked him up. So the thing about this is it's kind of the kind of wearable that you would buy if you had, like, money to just kind of blow. Because
it's not essential?
It costs, like, it's not an essential thing. However, I have to tell you, it is kind of cool when, if you're really into music, especially dance music, which I'm going to look for a song right now. And I'm going to have, I'm going to have you be my guinea pig.
Oh, I would love to.
So here, what we're going to do, let's walk the audience through this. So what we have here is this black watch looking thing. It's a little rectangle.
Yes.
Inside, it's got a haptic motor that vibrates along to your music. And on the screen, we have kind of like what it looks like inside.
Okay.
It can produce frequencies up to 250 hertz. That can they'll still remain silent. So, like, the outside world will not know that you're secretly rocking on the inside. So there's a little light on the outside, so you know if it's turning on. So the way you turn it on is hold down one of those magnetic buttons. So those buttons. Now go ahead and put it on. I'm gonna.
Should I be scared?
No, don't be scared. Now here on my side. Sitting next to Jason, I have an adapter plugged into my phone, and this adapter is what sends like the frequency to the little basslet and is what tells it to shake, and it shakes along to your music. So this will not work if you don't have a headphone jack, because you do need to have a headphone jack to plug this the dongle into. So that's one particular bummer. I'm actually curious to see if this will work with my Bluetooth dongle in my car. Let me make sure this is on. I believe it's on. Okay.
So ready for some bass on my
wrist. I know.
Wrist.
Let me.
It's going to rock you, Jason.
I'm going to feel
let
it.
Let me.
This is the perfect thing you need in the clubs, Jason.
So,
you go out this weekend,
here, you want to.
You don't even know.
Actually,
when you hit the cat club this weekend, you can totally wear it.
Man, I'm wearing this to the clubs.
I would love to bring Jason to the cat club, and that would just be so much fun. So just go ahead, just pop one of these
I'll
in your
pop
ear.
One, yeah. Lucky you, I just cleaned my ears.
So, I mean, can you pair more than one so you can have, like, some friends who are getting the wrist-rocking experience?
I hope this isn't really loud. So I'm going to start playing this song.
Okay, I'm hearing the song.
Okay.
It's plinky plonky.
You don't hear the song.
Only I do, by the way.
Yeah, so
listeners.
You can adjust the intensity with the buttons up and down. So adjust it.
Turning it full blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, go full intensity.
Oh, man, my wrist is shaking.
Is it? and it's fucking long to the base, right? Hold on, I'm gonna pop in here and see what you're listening to.
I can hardly even like keep my hand still.
It's that John Cougar Mellencamp music.
Oh, it's really shaking.
Is it just shaking your wrist or your entire body via your wrist?
It's just shaking my wrist.
Okay, so try it. Flip it over and try it on your veins.
Oh man,
it's supposed to be more intense.
So now you're like oncing your blood, your circulatory system.
My circulatory system is shaken on my wrist.
So this is designed for...
Are you
for,
feeling the music though, for real?
No, I feel it. Well, yeah.
Are you feeling it?
Yeah. I'm feeling it on my wrist. Like I feel like I need it rumbling.
You want it against your chest?
I don't know. It's just on my. It's supposed to
mimic the feel of when you're standing like next to a big subwoofer and you're just like,
wait, just like in the bass. It's supposed to simulate that, or is this supposed to simulate the feeling of holding your wrist up to the subwoofer?
Okay,
for our audio listeners out there, right now Jason is wearing this thing and his entire body is vibrating. Just imagine it. It's like he's a blur. There you go. See, it's just exactly.
I wish you could hear the song right now. It's so weird.
You can use it. It's not that weird. Okay, so you can use it. So I like it because I'm a dance
freak.
It's
pretty weird, Flo.
I like when you use it with VR, by the way. When you use it with Daydream VR, for instance.
Okay,
and you plug
I
in your
see.
Headphones yes. and okay. you're playing Gun Jack 2 and you're like, pow, 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 or
that
whatever.
I can see.
With the remote.
Get a little extra kick.
And every time you go poo, 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 like you get a little. Buzz on your wrist.
Can you get multiple? Like, can you get one for each wrist and like one that goes across your chest? Like to give you the full
comes with like a little extender. Do you want to try it on?
It's like when they had those the steam rooms that would vibrate you. The little steam boxes.
What?
Yeah, you were supposed to lose weight that way. Oh. So does this help me lose weight? I mean, that's how they should be selling this.
This is not one of those. Are you talking about those things that you affix to your abs that they always advertise on Univision?
Okay. I mean, it works.
It vibrates.
It does vibrate.
Don't worry. I'll clean these
up. So was this a Kickstarter? This was a Kickstarter, right?
Yes, it was. Yes. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. It was a Kickstarter. And it was backed, and now it is an actual thing. You can buy it for $200.
Are you kidding me? $200? Seriously?
I believe it's $200. Gosh, I hope I'm not saying the wrong thing. Otherwise, I don't like to, you know,
say
the wrong thing.
I mean, you could do the same thing by buying a $200 watch and just making it vibrate, right?
Could you?
I mean, there's a little more kick to that than your average haptic, I would say, in haptic feedback in a wearable.
Right now you can sign up, but it doesn't say. It doesn't really say how much. Oh, buy now. Let's see.
$199 USD.
Yeah, $199. So it's $200 for a tiny little subwoofer that you put on your wrist.
Yeah, I'm thinking for like $30, I could just buy a speaker and tape it onto my wrist.
It's just I've never
but
thought.
But you can't take it with you to the club. You can't take it with you to the club, or you can't take it with you on BART. You know, you're on BART and you're just like,
The
beats.
The problem with taking it to the club is you're listening to the music around you, not the music from your phone.
Yeah, it's true.
Because if you're listening to your music from your phone in the club, you look really strange.
You're not supposed to use the club. You're supposed to use it when you're on transit, when you're in your room, just like, you know.
Let me see if I can we give the audience the experience?
In your room and you're just dancing alone.
There. Yeah, that's what I'm getting right now.
All
right, audio listeners.
The music. Let's see if we can.
That's good stuff. Oh.
Can you hear that?
That. But on your wrist.
Okay,
I can't hear Ron.
Right now, I'm thinking this was not really designed to be on my wrist.
Wait, is it still shake? Oh, yeah. Wow. It's going. Wait, what happened? I'm going to put it on the desk. Sorry, everybody. Oh, you still can't hear it. Oh, wait.
Here, we'll go ahead and put it over here so Brian can take the camera. This is to prove that it's actually doing something.
Yeah. it's running away.
Walking away.
Come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next billion-dollar IPO.
Oh. That's brilliant.
Listen, I'm reviewing this, so if you want to read my full review.
this is great. Oh, man.
I like the concept.
Look, in all seriousness,
it's a dance music lover.
Yes, it's a haptic feedback device, and they've chosen kind of a hokey way to advertise it. But I mean, yeah, if I was doing VR, if I had a vest and wrist straps, I could see it.
I'm going to put this on in my car, and as I'm like in my car, not only will my car shake from the bass, but so will my wrist.
One of your wrists. The other wrist will not shake unless you have another $200.
Can we get one for like the necks and my head? It'll be just like, I mean, come on. Let's expand this.
You guys haven't been to a club in a while.
Interesting.
Audrey, I don't know if you remember, but Augmented World, remember when we did that?
The vest. That was good. Oh, yeah, I enjoyed that. That actually worked. So that's why the technology is actually good. I don't think they've chosen the right implementation, but the tech is cool.
Because I remember we put it on Kara, and she started to like dance on the floor there.
Did she bounce away?
She kind of bounced away. She likes that bass.
Whether she wanted to or not, she was dancing. I'm really happy you brought that home. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
The Lofelt Basslet.
I'm going to be reviewing it. So come to Android Central and read the review and see what I have to say about it. Right now, the only bummer is that it's not, you know, it's very manly. So it's not an accessory that I would wear.
In your review, could you please link up the video of it trying to escape from the music? Because I was pretty good.
Oh, that's awesome.
I forgot to show you. Oh, no, it's okay. Read the review.
No.
No, just come read the review. Just, it's fine.
That was a teaser.
Yes. Come read the review.
Father Robert. You brought a couple of devices in.
I brought some toys. I did.
Okay.
I did. I got the toys going on.
This is after I mentioned I was bringing this on the show, by the way.
Yeah, well, because she upped her game.
Father Robert emailed and is like, I have stuff to bring on the show, too.
Well, because Flo was like, oh, I'm going to bring in a wrist strap that rocks your body. I'm like, well, okay, I got to bring up some cool stuff, too, then. I mean,
what
right?
What you got?
All right, so this first one is something I've been wanting to play with for a while. This is actually the FLIR 1. I saw this a few years back, actually, at the Drone Expo. The whole idea was they had these low-cost sensors from FLIR, so not some weird CCD sensor that they removed the IR cut filter from.
$300 sensor, right?
Yeah, it is expensive. This is a $250 device.
That's right.
This is a little pricey, but, I mean, if you are looking for something that actually has these capabilities, it does work really, really well. So the idea is it's got two cameras. One of them is an infrared camera, and one is a normal camera. It allows you to combine them. So when you combine the two, it actually allows you to do cooler things. Let me turn this on. It does have its own supplemental power, and hopefully I've charged the battery enough for it to come on, come back. There we go. And warming it up. Now, this is actually a real-time infrared image. So, for example, you've got my hand in front of that. Now, a lot of people are going to go, well, that's low resolution and such. But if you are looking for an application where you're, like, trying to find out where heat is leaking from an item. Exactly. Or, like, when I'm doing data center evaluations and I need to find out whether or not the cooling is working properly, this is a really cool way to do it. It's got a bunch of different modes, so I can choose the different types of power. Unfortunately, this is a micro USB device. And, the power just ran out. This is why you always charge things the night before, people. What's allowed me to do? It's allowed me to do these evaluations where I can actually tell people when, you know, they don't have enough cooling in their data center. Mm-hmm. Or I can use this to look at the circuits that I've been making for know-how, mm-hmm. and it will tell me if something's about to burst into flames, which has in the past been important.
You kind of want to know when things are about to burst into flames.
Yeah,
Samsung could put this to flames.
That's a good
thing. Oh,
wow. Too soon, Jason. Way too soon. Oh, this isn't. I mean, hold on. Let me see if I can get Flo in here. No, the angle is kind of weird. I have an extension. Oh,
here's me. up my nose. Why am I
your
so
nose
cold
is,
right here?
Your nose is so cold compared to the rest.
Well,
because
I'm using a different mode. Oh. Like for example, if I want to use straight contrast. There we go. Now, your face is kind of cold. Yeah, how about
that? Cold face flow.
How about that? Yeah. Also, this is really good for practical jokes. One of the applications that I figured out is I've brought this to the market. You can figure out what people's pins are because you use this on the pad and it will show you
where
which
the
ones
heat marks
the
are.
You just take a picture.
Oh, my goodness.
And you look at the heat decay and it will say in which order they were pressed. Totally weird, and I know most people wouldn't want to do that, but it absolutely works.
Wow. Yeah.
That is so dishonest.
Or like a keypad for a door. If someone goes into the door, you can film it, and it'll actually show you which buttons were pushed and in which order they were pushed.
Wow.
Don't do that, folks.
This is white hat stuff, right?
This is total white hat. Yeah. Which is why, and I'm not
this
joking.
This isn't an episode of 2600, the video show.
Anytime I use a keypad, I actually push all the buttons. I hold all the buttons so that they all get heated up. It's now that I know that it's that easy, I just breathe on it.
Reiki on the ATM.
So, I mean, way expensive for a toy, but if you are actually...
Contractors.
Right? This is fantastic. This is fantastic.
Oh, man. I should have gotten my dad that for his birthday.
Well, he's going to have another birthday.
Dad, I love you. Here's an IR camera. Right?
What better way to say, oh, I love you than with an IR camera? Oh, I always try to get my dad the cool,
like, hip tech for contracting and building houses.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Now, I also did bring another camera, by the way. This one is not... $250. This is $129. Actually, it was $100 when I got it on a Kickstarter. This is the Life UI. This is a super low cost way to get into a three. Oops, sorry, I got in the way of the. That's the next thing. So this is a little micro USB camera. It's got two 1080p sensors that will have 180 degree viewing angles. And the whole idea is this is something you can keep in your pocket and then just bring it up for 360 degree views. Really inexpensively. So this is actually looking around the table
live
right now.
Stream.
That's cool.
Live stream.
I like how it looks like a old quick cam from the late 90s.
It really does. It looks like the Game Boy camera a little bit, actually.
And actually, Brian, you've got a couple of links there for some of the videos I made in Rome. It does not do well in low light, and it really doesn't do well when I'm holding it because the frame rate drops. But like, go ahead and move that around. So this is inside of the St. Peter's in Rome. This is the main altar. When we were celebrating with Pope Francis. But, I mean, it is 360. It's not super high-resolution 360, but a lot of those cameras are 6 to 1,000. This is $100.
Right, right.
And it's something that you can carry around, and if you lose it, you lose it. If you destroy it, you destroy it. But it can give you a little bit of that 360. You see the stitching right there.
But how often do you look at that?
Well, yeah.
Would you look?
That usually happens with the 360 cameras that are.
Yeah, the Gear 360 does the same thing.
Yeah,
precisely. And by the way, I should say that the resolution on this, it's not actually that bad. The problem is I may have accidentally washed it, and so there's water inside the lenses.
So it survives. So it's water resistant.
Well,
yeah,
I was going to ask if the quality was affected by it being inside of a church, and would it momentarily then burst into flames? Would if I used it.
Yeah, this is outside. So I mean, outside in Rome, this is right next to St. Peter's. Yeah. It actually does look pretty cool. I built a little adapter for this. This actually works really well as a security camera. You put like one little globe up, and you can get a 360 degree view that you can control. Not a lot of zoom in and zoom out, but. Again, we're talking super, super low cost.
Yeah.
Enhance.
Take an old device.
Chloe, and, enhance.
Enhance.
Chloe, enhance. We need to get that license plate number.
So this is CSI, right? So it's, oh, yes, give me resolution where none exists.
Right. Yeah. Every episode of 24 is based on that.
Well, of course. I mean, it's like magic. There is one other thing that I did want to show off because it is absolutely silly, but I find it incredibly useful. This is the Nox light. This is from a company called Sleep Ace. And the reason why I got this was because I'm actually already in the Sleep Ace ecosystem. I use it as a sleep monitor, and it's not like one of these things. It's not a watch that I have to use at night because I always end up taking those things off. They actually have a sensor that's under my mattress, and it tracks all
of... That's what I want.
Right? It actually works really, really well. So this is linked to my phone, and the whole idea is this is supposed to be like your next-to-your-bed nightlight type thing. So it does have sensors, so I can change the brightness, I can change the color. But also, I can have this thing respond to time. So if I need to reset my... By the way, this is how I just made it dimmer, and now I'm making it brighter. They added a bunch of capacitive sensors all the way around this thing.
Wow.
I can have it so that like
it's very bright
in the evening, it gets deeper and deeper red until finally it turns off. And then in the morning it starts with dark blue and it gets lighter and lighter blue.
Like the sun's coming up.
Also, it's a Bluetooth enabled speaker. So if I hold my hand in front of it, it's actually paired to my phone and it will start playing my music. There you go.
Oh,
or stop playing the music.
Or stop or turn it off. You know, it is kind of silly. And, you know, the price point is, I think, is wrong. It's $150. So and it will charge your phone and such. But, I mean, I've been using this thing for the last couple of months. And
if that was $99, that'd be a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree.
Precisely. Yep. Exactly. Yep. And seriously, the light from this is very cool. I thought it was such a gimmick until I actually started using it. I'm like, you know what? I sleep better when my light tends towards red right before I go to bed rather than using full spectrum lights.
Yeah, we have a rule in our house. After 9 o'clock, it's all red and orange lights. No blue or white lights allowed.
Right. And, are they
controlled by the Google Home Flow?
No, unfortunately not. We just have old school red bulbs that we...
So there's certain lights that you only use
There's certain lamps that we use, and then there's other... Yeah, it's kind of old school. I know, I do need to get some Hues, yeah.
I like the idea of you going around changing the bulbs at 9 o'clock every night.
Now, for those people who just want to geek out, yeah, you can go all raver on this. So here, turn this.
Oh wait, put the wrist woofer on while you do that.
So I do have the ability to like play with ambiance. I can change the color cycle. I can have this thing just be a speaker.
Just be.
So if you want to mess around, this is actually a pretty cool geek device.
Purple.
Let's go to purple. Purple. Let's purple this thing up.
Actual purple.
But what kind of purple? Because I can choose deep purple. Do I want to go crazy?
No,
purple?
I want deep purple.
All right. We'll get the one. There we go.
It's a little blown out on the screen, but
a little magenta.
Yeah,
it's more rich in real life.
Let me turn it down. There we go.
Nice. I like that.
So again, price point's wrong, but it's a very cool device.
So it has an app for Android that you're controlling, it to control.
This is on my OnePlus 3T, so it's Bluetooth connects to either iOS or Android. Not bad, actually. And this is the same app that also tracks my sleep.
Okay.
So I can actually have this tied to that, and it will know when I've gone to sleep, and it will shut it off.
So it's just a separate sensor that you place under your mattress.
Right. It's a band. It actually goes all the way under the mattress, and it wirelessly links to my device.
Not underneath the mattress pad?
No, it's under the mattress.
Wow.
Yeah.
Neato.
Not bad.
I like it. That's Sleep Ace?
The company's called Sleep Ace, and the product, Sleep Ace. It's called the Nox Lite.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks for bringing those in.
You know what would make this better? If it were also an essential oil diffuser.
You know what would make it even better? If I could wear it on my wrist and it would vibrate.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
You could wear that light.
Because then it is like at the club.
Yes, exactly. Then not only is it vibrating, it's also a strobe light.
It's a rave light.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool stuff.
Don't rave. They go.
They just shake their head.
You just move to the beat.
Hey, Brian went to an actual club in Berlin. Did you not, Brian?
You did? We'll talk about that.
Yeah, no, they're in IFA, and I was glad to finally find my people because they all dance with out moving their legs and kind of like swinging back and forth.
Brian had the sickest moves in the club. They're like, "Oh, you are American! I can see how you dance." Mm-hmm.
They were swaying like this, and Brian was like swaying like this.
Yes. I threw a little arm movement in there, really kicked it up a notch.
The Germans are rolling their eyes at us right now.
Now that we've insulted an entire people.
Yeah. All right, we gotta move on because we've got another hardware block before we get into the arena. I just realized what time it was.
Oh, woo! No.
Real quick, before, though, we talk about more hardware stuff, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode. That is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you are thinking about getting a house, you want to buy a house, you got to go through the whole mortgage process to make that happen. It can be a little intimidating. If this is the first time that you're doing it, there's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through in order to get to that point. A lot of information to pull. And it's not always the easiest thing in the world. Thankfully, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is kind of making that a little bit easier. They're basically doing a lot of the heavy lifting for you to kind of take some of the complexity out of the situation. And you want to work with someone who has your best interest in mind, who you can trust. And of course, in this case, that is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. You're going to get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. So you're not going to have to waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial information. And that's so that you can get a mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and the length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the mortgage solution that's perfect for your situation. You can play around with those numbers to kind of see how they go and find the right match. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. So you should check it out for yourself, see what it's all about. You can skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. No need for a bumper. You're off the hook. Go to the beach and take a vacation, Brian.
Go back to Germany and dance.
Go back to Germany. Dance. Yeah, go back with your people.
I would love to be in Germany club. Dancing right now. I'll go with you, Brian.
I'll go. I haven't been to the club in a while.
I'll go eat.
I'll stay here instead and talk a little bit about Google Home. Check this out. Wall Street Journal reports that Google Home might someday bring the ability to be a speakerphone.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want. My mother blaring through my Google Home in my kitchen.
This was my question. This is exactly my question. So basically, they're working
on it. I'm okay with this. I'm totally okay with this. Go on, Jason.
No, I was just going to say they're working on it. They've got some things to figure out. Of course, this isn't a feature that's rolling out immediately. Apparently, Amazon's Echo, they're also working on this there. So apparently, the crossover item or idea for this type of device is that it does all these things. Why not also
field
phone calls?
And it will be nice to be able to speak to people without having the phone near me as I'm.
I mean, it,
well, that,
or
that
actually,
said,
I do.
Well, wait
not,
a minute.
You have to have the phone near you because how
my initial thought was that I was I'm for this. I think it's great because I do so much interacting with my Google Home, have it set a timer, do things like that. But then I think about when I'm at work and I'm on the phone with somebody and they're on speaker and it just drives me crazy. Like, I hate being on a phone call with someone who's on speakerphone.
Hey, girl, where are you at? What you doing? How's your day?
Well, I mean, unless it's a really, really good speakerphone with multiple mics and it can actually zero on where the conversation actually is, it is maddening to hear all the echo and all the stuff happening in the background.
Well, and that's exactly what a Google Home has in it, though. It has an array of microphones, and it's tuned to be able to pick up audio from clear across the room.
And it does.
How does that translate? And it does it really well. How does that translate into sound quality on the other end of a phone call, though? That's the question.
But then somebody made a really good point in the chat that it could be used for emergency services.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a big... imagine you fall down in your kitchen, you can't get to your phone.
Amazon, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Exactly.
Yes.
OKG, call 911.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yep. So
at that point, is it still 911?
That would be one of those. No, it probably isn't. But that would be one of those. Google understands what you meant by saying that and does the right thing.
It could be even better. It could go online and like alert Twitter is like crap.
I was gonna say
happening anyway.
It would be unfortunate that in order to do that, you need to set up a very complex IFTT algorithm to, if I say call 911, then open my phone, dial 911, turn on speakerphone, route it to the...
Well, that's what I'm wondering is, would it have anything to do with your phone at all? I mean, when you're interacting with Google Home, it's only really interacting with your phone if you happen to have it to send the thing over to Google Home.
It needs to be within Bluetooth range.
Well, what I'm wondering is,
you could circumvent the phones altogether,
right.
Jason.
I mean, Google Voice, it's voice over IP. Yeah. Google already has this infrastructure. Why not just link my Google Voice account to my Google Home, and then I can make calls through the home?
Are you saying this is the future?
Potentially.
I don't talk to people. I don't want to. I text.
You love talking to people.
Unless it's an emergency, text me. I don't want to hear you.
I love it. Get a glass of wine. Sit.
No.
Catch up.
Well, it might be really handy for those customer service calls that you know you're going to be on hold for 40
that's also
minutes.
True.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. All right.
Yeah. That's also true.
Real quick little hardware thing. Speaking of voice over IP, Jason, with the latest Nextbit Robin NuGet update, I have voice over LTE now.
Oh. Have you been using that?
I actually made a phone call, Father Robert. I had a work call I had to make, and I connected via – it lit up and said VOLTE, and it sounded great. It sounded better than I've heard anything. So,
nice.
When I did the review of the OnePlus 3T, they sent me two so I could test it because you need Volt on both sides in order for it to – you actually get
right.
But when I did it, oh, my goodness. It reminded me. I'm like, cell phones sound horrible. We've just gotten used to how they sound.
So used to it.
Exactly, yeah. And now I saw the recent press with 5G LTE coming this way and stuff like that. I think it's going to be like light speed better because the data speeds will be so much better. And with voice over LTE working and the newer phones having it, it could be really interesting. So, but speaking of new phones, to move on, HTC, the little engine that could, said during its quarterly earnings call that it'll be exiting the entry-level smartphone market and instead focus more on the mid to high-end flagship devices for a total of 7 devices in 2017. They said the budget market is saturated with little room for profit. The mid to high end has higher profit margins if they sell, of course. The HTC U Ultra and HTC U Play are the first part of this new strategy. And they made a similar commitment back in 2012. They committed to releasing fewer number of quality devices instead of a bunch of seemingly indistinguishable devices. So what do you guys think? Will this help HTC's troubles by focusing on mid to high end phones?
No.
How many times have you asked that question on this show?
A lot.
I mean,
I think we can comprise an entire 2-hour medley of just.
Oh, we should do a compilation of all the times we wondered if the thing HTC is doing is going to save them.
But I mean, we know it, right? We know that Apple controls like 99% of that high end market. They get all the profit because that's what they're saying. When they're saying high end, they just want a higher profit device.
Right.
Because everyone can play in the low end space with any piece of hardware.
Samsung's doing well in that, yeah, you, in that
exactly.
market.
I can put something together on know-how in the low end space. But once you start trying to crack that high end space, I mean, it's rarefied air. Samsung kind of has it when their phones don't explode. You know, maybe LG could have had it last year if it wasn't such a horrible, horrible boondoggling of the release of the 5.
Google has it now.
Google has it now, but I mean, it's hard to crack. Yeah. It's really hard to crack.
They don't have enough shipment to keep up with.
Yeah. Google has a phone. Yeah, Google has a phone there, but I mean, nowhere near
it's
as
just
competitive.
Verizon.
That said, I've yet to meet anybody who has a Pixel who hasn't raved about it.
Right.
Yeah. I love the iPhone so much.
So, I mean, because if they want to build the high-end phone and charge $800 for it, it's not going to work. Absolutely won't work. Now, if they want to do something like what a company like OnePlus is, who they understand we can't compete with the high-end phones. We will never have that kind of feature set at a development cost that makes sense for us. And they also don't want to be in the low-end space because that's just garbage. Then you can carve yourself out a niche. But if you try to do a high-end, high-priced phone with the mid-range price, people just go, yeah, it's HTC.
That's a good point.
You got to think about the motivations here is that they're focused on profit margins. When you're talking about low-end devices, you're talking about razor-thin margin because it still costs an X amount of dollars to make the phone.
Yeah.
And so when you can potentially make close to double the cost of the phone in the high-end market to shareholders and to business people and to bean counters, that is a much more attractive play than going after making, you know, $35 a phone or whatever it is.
But that profit margin gets expanded with serious investment into R&D. And most of these companies aren't set up for that. Samsung is. And they've poured billions of dollars into it just to play in that field.
Yeah. Mm.
You've got a company like HTC. It's like, okay, you can't just give me what the other phones have and expect me to pay for yours. You have to give me something new. And unfortunately, that something new, even though it seems ethereal, it's ridiculously expensive. So it's nice to say we're going to go for the high profit margin phones, but to actually make one that people will pay that price for, I don't think that's in HTC's grasp.
At the end of the day, it's easy to dictate your strategy for what kinds of devices you're going to create. It seems to be next to impossible to get anyone of a certain number to buy it to the point to where you're competitive with companies like Samsung and Apple. That's just a really difficult thing to do.
Well, and speaking of Samsung, next week is MWC, we already know that we're probably not going to be seeing the flagship.
The S8, that's true.
They could surprise us.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like they've said, even Samsung has said, oh, we're not going to do that at Mobile World Congress, but what if they do? We all really want them to.
Well, Apple's going to be there.
And speaking of leaks, here's the leak from EV Leaks of the G6 and the LG G6 and the Samsung Galaxy S8.
So if you scroll down, it's actually that. I think that's their hero image.
So the top portion that we've got there on the screen here, which is you can see yourself at EV Leaks' Twitter feed, is the S8 is on top.
With a case
on it from Spec. That's a Spec logo that we see there.
Okay, so starting with the SA.
And on the bottom, and the whole tweet is, hey, case manufacturers. And the bottom is a Spec case on top of an LG G6.
All right. Okay. So there's this movement of reducing bezel. Can kind of see it on the G8.
Now you see it, now you don't. Both of GS8. Them have smaller bezels, are narrower and taller. They're both silver.
fingerprint on the back for the S8 instead of the front. So the first
fingerprints on the back for the G6 too.
Yeah, yeah, but this is the first Galaxy device with a button on the back, not on the front. So
yes, and it's right next to the camera. Anyway, that's coming. That's coming. Let's save that. Save that discussion for
that's future.
I want the Note 8. The Galaxy series is nice. It's beautiful, but it's always incremental. Like the 6 was a little bit better than the 5. Well, actually, no, the 6 was a lot better than the 5.
The 6 was a complete
but the 7 was like, okay.
I get it. Minor incremental. Improvement.
This looks incremental as well.
It does. It
the
is.
The Note looked awesome. If it didn't turn into a hand grenade, I was going
to
buy that.
I just saw this. It's possible that Samsung is going to refurbish the Note 7s with a smaller battery.
I will take that.
And release it sometime early summer.
So is that like...
Ooh.
Possible.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. I don't know the credibility of that.
I could see them doing that because they're still on the hook for the components because they did their supply chain contracts, which means they have all these components they paid for that they're never going to use.
Practical reason.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do it and it will go poorly because nobody will want it. They've got to call it something else again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That Note brand is so...
If I bought a Toyota Corolla with broken brakes and it kept killing people, I would never buy a Toyota Corolla
again. They're going to call it... It's the brand new Samsung Fireproof. Nova.
It's a fire. That's a good idea.
Yeah?
That's a good idea.
Marketing people.
Or call it the Explosion. Just own it. Just own it. Right?
Exactly. You go the other way.
Or they could call it the Freeze.
See, now we're getting
a whole new branding.
So many good ideas.
And then make it like in these cool blue colors.
The safety edition.
oh, my.
There we go. All that free marketing for you, Samsung. You're welcome. All right, before we get to the arena, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode. That is BarkBox. It's for all you dog owners out there. If you have a dog, you want to listen up here. BarkBox delivers 4 to 6 natural treats and fun toys for your dog. It's curated around a surprise theme every month. So you get a BarkBox delivered to your house, and what do you know? Your dog is super happy because they get to play with it and eat it and all that kind of stuff. BarkBox Paw Picks, the best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match your dog's unique needs, including things like allergies. And if you have a heavy chewer, you can throw that into your preferences and get different items shipped accordingly. All edibles are made in the U.S. or Canada. 100% of their products are tested on animals. And guess who they're tested on? BarkBox's own animals, of course, because they're all dog fans. So there you go. BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats, as well as toys from local and small businesses that you might not otherwise be able to find. There's some kind of boutique stuff that they throw in there that you're not going to find at your local market. BarkBox also makes their own products through their Bark & Co. brand. Yes, product. It's a thing. They've shipped over 16 million toys and treats so far. And getting started is super easy. You just choose your dog size. If you have a small dog up to 20 pounds or just right is 20 to 50 pounds. Or if you have a really big and bold dog, that's 50 plus pounds. You choose a plan. 1, 6, or 12-month plans are available. You'll get your BarkBox delivered. They're shipped on the 15th of each month. And then BarkBox will actually keep your dog. Your dog's going to be stoked when you get this box and you give them all the toys and the treats and everything. But if your dog doesn't like something in the BarkBox, they'll actually send you something for free so that you can replace it. When your dog falls in love with something from the box, you can easily find it again. You just go to BarkShop.com or the BarkBox app. And you can cancel anytime, of course. Shipping is free in the continental U.S. So give your dog the joy of a million belly scratches. Get 1 month free and free shipping with your 6 or 12 month subscription by visiting getbarkbox.com/twit. That's getbarkbox.com/twit. And we thank BarkBox for their support of All About Android. Good to have you on board. All right. It is that time. It is time where it's the time in the show where we dance in the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Arena. Okay. So last week's episode was bit.ly/AAAVote305. And I haven't even looked yet. So I'm going through the process. Apparently, I haven't even voted yet, so I'm not going to go through the process because it's too late for me to drop my vote. Brian, do you happen to have it?
Yeah, I've got it up in front of me. I can talk to Jason for you. So coming in first was our guest was Liam's Noisley with 42% of the vote.
Wow. Dang.
Coming in second was Jason with Transit, real-time transit app with 24.3%. Then third was Flo with I Love Hugh at 18.2%. And I brought up the rear with Quant at 15.4%. And so that means with the score totaling going on, we have a new leader. Thanks to Wade County in the chat room for keeping track of the scores in the arena.
Thank you, Wade County.
After 7 weeks, guests are in the lead with 23 points. I am in second with just 22 points.
Dang.
Flo is in third with 15 points. And Jason, you're in last with 14. So first and second, the difference is a point. Third and fourth, the difference is a point.
Still anybody's race.
Those are some tight races. I like it. So,
With this new point scoring method, could it mean that like there's an early winner that's never reachable?
Yeah.
Yep.
But we're not showing that because if Flo wins, she's 3 points out of first place. If you win, you're 4 points out of first place. It's enough, you know. So I think
close enough still.
If one person takes the lead, wins, comes in first every time, in the old way, they would still run away with it as well too. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right, excellent. All right.
So I came in last, so yep. I go first, right?
All right. All right. And I haven't set this up yet, so you told me to wait.
Yes, cool. Okay. So, and I don't think it's going to show personal information other than your emails, but whatever.
Okay, no big deal. Thanks. Ron.
It's been a while since we've revisited an email client because honestly, there hasn't been anything that's really made me go look at it again. But after Inbox died, after Dropbox acquired it and killed it, I've just been using Gmail or whatever. But I'll be honest with you, email, fast and secure mail from EasilyDo might be the one to take it over. Couple of things about this that make it amazing. So when you go to set up your account, right, it just asks for permission to access your contacts, and then it detects the accounts that you're logged into Google on, and once you tap it, it sets it up. No password, nothing. It just works. It just asks for the approval, the permissions, and then it just loads instantly.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing?
That was easy.
That was very easy. So now you go to the inbox. And this is where anybody wants to show. But so you can see your emails.
Oh, we're good. We're totally good.
Okay, cool. It syncs super fast. But now check this out. So if you slide it a little to the right, you can see you swipe to the right. You can see you can delete. Swipe to the left. You can archive. Right. We can change those in the settings. I'll show you that in a second. But the amazing thing is, click on that Groupon email. That Groupon goods. There's a second email there. Oh, what is that button above the email? Unsubscribe.
I don't need you, Groupon. Get out of here.
And it unsubscribes you and archives the email.
What? How did it
right?
do that?
That's amazing. They built in an unsubscribe function. I've tested it. It works. It's amazing.
That's okay. Really handy.
So now if you go back, and of course it's got reply and reply all and archive and all that sort of stuff. But if you hit the hamburger menu there on the left, right? It also, and it might not work for you immediately, but once it analyzes your email, stuff like that, it's got a little assistant in it that will show you all your emails that are subscriptions. So if you hit the hit subscriptions under assistant, it's going to show you all of your mailing lists, and you can auto unsubscribe straight from here, or you can favorite them. So you can give priority to all those dumb email inbox emails that you get and things like that, or you can just mass unsubscribe from one screen like this. You can manage the direct email spam you get, which is amazing.
And now you know that tall people might be fans of a service called American Tall.
So make that a favorite. Hit the star there.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but I'll go like that.
Oh, let's just do it. Yeah. So okay. Now it's a favorite, and it will remember that. Go back. If you go back and then hit the hamburger menu. So it also go hit the hamburger menu again. I'm sorry. You can see in addition to subscriptions, it'll also detect your travel emails, packages, bills and receipts, entertainment based ones, very similar to how Google does it. But I can never find that stuff. You know how they integrate, they're reading your email and integrating it. But it doesn't actually add anything to me unless you're using Google now. Now this kind of organizes it in a way that you can actually find it.
Nice.
Go to settings down at the bottom of others. So just to give you an idea of what you can do, you can turn on or off the sender image, you know, the image that goes next to the name in the conversation list. You can change the way it looks, whether you want conversation view or not. But down there, swipe left and swipe right, that's where you can control what happens when you swipe left or right. You can either mark as read or unread or flag it or archive it or delete it. So you get control over that. It's also got undo send, So undo time window. So what you can do is you can set 15 seconds, and you can send an email, but you can undo it after 15 seconds, which is great. Gmail does have that, but I have never seen that actually integrated into an app. So it's really, you know, it's kind of granular on the sort of settings that you want to be able to change, you know, versus nonsense ones, which is great to see. You can customize the actions there. There you go. So yeah, so it's actions. Email, fast and secure email from easily do. This, honestly, I might actually move from Gmail over to this. And the other thing is it is blazingly fast. I don't know how it happened, how they're doing it, or how it's working, but it is super fast. No syncing. I have sync turned off on my phone because I don't like how much battery it takes. I do not have sync turned on. And when new emails come in, I get an immediate notification. I don't know how it's doing it. It's amazing. Nice. So it's very, very cool. And of course, it's secure and private, so you don't have to worry about that as much. And so there you go. Email, fast and secure mail. And it's free.
And it's, because when I looked it up, I was like, email, fast and secure, but it's Easily Do is the company that makes it. So if you do a search for Easily Do, one word on the Play Store, you should find it.
Yeah, and it works with Google, Yahoo, Outlook, AOL, Office 365, all the email services that are out there, it works with, as well as IMAP accounts and support. And they say Exchange support will be coming soon. It does not support POP3, luckily. So there you go. And it works with iCloud, ironically.
Because it's cross-platform. Nice. Yeah. All right. Excellent pick. Easily Do email. Flo, you're up next.
That is me. So instant apps aren't really a thing yet, which is kind of a bummer. And maybe you don't want to take up a bunch of space on your phone, especially because you only bought the 32-gigabyte version because you cheaped out.
Because style is important and you wanted the blue.
I did. I wanted the blue one.
I did too. I got it.
Yeah. So anyway. But because of that, you know, and not only that, but think about the apps in your life that you absolutely wish you did not have to have installed on your phone. For me, that app is Yelp. I do not like to have it installed. Yeah. I like the things that it offers me, but I'm not interested in having the app installed. So if you're like me, you might find the app Hermit Light Apps Browser to be very helpful. Camera's in a different place today. So this app, what it will do is it will offer you a library of light apps that you can install onto your device. What I've done is, you know, one of those offensive apps that I absolutely wish I didn't have to have installed was Messenger. Well, the good news is that there is a web version of Messenger that you can install that uses up not even a fraction of the battery that the actual Messenger app uses, and doesn't track you, which is kind of awesome. So I already had Message installed, so it's just here on my home screen. It looks like any regular app that you'd normally download from the Play Store. I just tap on it, and it's all of my messages on Facebook, which I'm covering right now because I actually use Facebook Messenger. Anyway, but it's the web version, which I'm not going to show you because conversations. But it's the web version, so you don't have to worry about all the bloat that comes from the app. Now, of course, you're not going to get all of the functionality like the video chat and the SMS, but quite frankly,
what about the stickers?
I don't really want that. I don't really want. I have to check up for that. Check that for
you. Want
you,
the, you want the stickers though, right? Yeah.
Well, I have Allo for that, but also I found there's Twits, so you can have a lovely little easy link to watch Twit in your browser, which is kind of nice. Hermit, it's free. It only lets you do two apps for free. If you want to unlock the possibilities, you will have to pay $5.41 to the developer, which, quite frankly, support your developers small time, especially if you find this to be useful. If you end up not being able to find the app that you want, you can create your own app with just the URL and then customize it, customize the way it looks, customize the way the notifications work. You can also customize whether you want the Hermit app to pull from the AMP database, which is those websites that are Google certified will load super fast with no issue. Hermit. It's a library of light apps, and it should maybe help you tide over until instant apps make it here.
I like that. Yeah. I like Kermit.
And I love the promise of instant apps. I mean, that's really where we are headed.
I know. I can't wait. You know?
Progressive web apps.
Progressive web. Remember when the progressive web was just like web 2.0 and now it's like... Now it's just progressive. It's just constantly progressing.
Yeah, then it was HTML5 and now it's PWA and yeah.
Yep. Always something.
Pick a lane.
Hermit Light Apps Browser. Love it. Excellent stuff. Good pick.
Thank you, Jason.
What?
Right. I got a little something for those people who are subscribers to Amazon Prime, and I know there are a lot of us. I do. Flo, you as well, Jason.
Yep.
And
it's
Ron.
Like a Costco membership.
Yep. Okay, if you do have Amazon Prime, then there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't have this because it's just like leaving money on the table if
you don't.
Now, we know that for a while... on those Amazon tablets, if you bought like one of the Fire tablets, you have the ability to download 10 pieces of content to the tablet at a time. So let's say you're going on that car trip or the plane ride, you can download 10 movies, 10 TV episodes, whatever it might be, and it will store it in the device. So even when you're offline, you still have access to that content.
That's awesome for trips.
They've been playing with it on Android for a while, but it's been kind of buggy. I think it's finally ready. I've used it on 4 different phones. It worked perfectly. Now, this is an underground app. It's the Amazon Underground, which means that if you're going to install this, when you do install, you got to go into your security settings, where it is, and you have to allow for... unsigned or unknown sources. But once you do get it installed, what you can do is go into the underground and then install the Prime Video app. And this is exactly what it sounds like. It's Prime Video, but it allows me to download my episodes onto my device. So for example, I've been totally getting into The Expanse.
Call.
Exactly. And you know, this thing is, it's amazing because I can download it in several different qualities, low def, high def. And I can do a full season of the entire season one of The Expanse can be on my device so that I can watch it whenever I feel like it. And it looks good. I can cast it to TV. And if I am an Amazon Prime member already, it's absolutely free. This costs me nothing. I don't know why you wouldn't take advantage of it. Now, it can take up a little bit of space. Like, for example, one single episode of The Expanse is going to use up something like 0.46 gigabytes of storage. So just know that it can be a bit of a storage hog, but you're always going to be refreshing these, so it's not like it's taking it up permanently. So again, this is the Amazon Prime Video. You got to know how to turn on unknown install on your phone, but once you do, this is one of those apps that you absolutely need to have on your device.
Some folks in chat are talking about how Netflix does this. Just for the record, Amazon was doing this before Netflix.
Yeah, it was.
Netflix only very recently pushed this out. Amazon's been doing the save it to your device for at least a year, if not longer. Yeah.
And I should mention, a lot of us have Amazon Prime already.
That's the thing, right? You're paying for Prime for something entirely different. And what do you know? You also have a music library that you have access to, which is, I mean, it's not that great, but hey, it's something. And then this, which I think actually it has a lot of value, is an additional video library.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have Netflix, especially if you don't have Netflix, but if you do have Netflix, it's another.
There are also books.
Place to check.
I gave up Netflix for 6 months. I actually canceled it because I was getting most everything I needed from Amazon.
I've done that before.
Yeah,
and then I go back.
Like, I binge, so I watch Stranger Things and all the series I forgot, and then I turn it off again.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go back when your shows are back. Yeah,
there you go. It's not just an app; it's a way to
especially
save
with
money.
Unsolved Mysteries.
It's a way of life.
Unsolved Mysteries being on Amazon Prime now.
I got into iZombie on Netflix for a while.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was actually a good series.
So to back away from the app, though, Father Robert, are you reading the Expanse books? Because if you're not, you absolutely should.
I bought all of them on last Thursday, and it rained over the weekend, and I finished them all yesterday.
Right? They're that's
addictive.
They were.
They're addictive.
Can't put them down. Nope.
Fantastic. And actually, I'm trying to get him to be a guest on Twit. I want him to come in for Triangulation. The author, what's his name again?
It's two people.
Oh, really? I know the guy who also does the screenwriting.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So the author of the book is two people. It's James S.A. Corey is the pen name, but it's actually two people who write under that name.
That makes sense. Anyway. All right. Yeah,
cool.
Deal.
All right. So, and by the way, just for clarification purposes, you can't get Amazon Underground Prime Video through the Play Store. You can only get it through the Amazon site. So they don't put that app in the Play Store.
Through an alley
normally, when
behind
we
the building.
Apps into the arena,
I don't know.
There will
why
be a guy.
It's weird, right? I mean, why can't they just submit
it? Well, send you an app via NFC.
I don't know if they can. I don't know if Play Store would allow for them to because it's a marketplace.
Oh, he might ask you for money.
Right. But yeah, I think
in exchange it's the underground app.
Are you talking about
what
that?
Are you going to give up for this app?
Are you talking about that sketchy Amazon guy?
You got to give something to the sketchy Amazon guy behind the building.
Around the corner. He's always there dangling his free movies.
I'm going to bring him pretzel rods. He loves pretzel rods, by the way.
I'm going to give him all of my data. This is what I'm going to give him when I sign up for his free service. My app, I don't know if it's going to win any awards, but I thought it was funny. It's called Bard Video Assembler, and basically this is a way to take a video that already exists apparently in a list. I don't know how the videos get there. There do happen to be a lot of videos of Donald Trump. I'm not gonna bring that one in, but you could take Shia LaBeouf, for example, the Just Do It motivational speech.
Do it.
This doesn't give me a very big amount of words to start with, but basically what Bard Video Assembler does is it has a bunch of long form videos and they're broken up by words. So I can basically reconstruct video to say whatever I want.
Oh my gosh, do it.
No, based on, really? So this is the Shia LaBeouf video.
Yes.
Let's say just work hard. Okay. For impossible duets. It says duets, but it's him saying do it. Dang, I don't want that.
Yeah, no.
No, that's not going to work. I really want to duets.
There's dreams.
Okay.
Work hard for impossible dreams.
Okay. And then you hit talk, it assembles, and then it goes.
Hold on.
Assembly. Just work hard for impossible dreams.
Yeah, I did that.
Just
work hard for impossible dreams. Just like Shia LaBeouf just told you.
Oh, wait, can you export? That's the important thing.
You can save.
Oh, you can save?
And you can share.
Can you share it to Facebook?
You can share it to whatever you like.
Can you have him sing Rapper's Delight?
not yet.
I guess if you could find it in the video, right?
I've seen videos where they cut these things together, right? And they're done a little bit better than what you get out of here. This is definitely a machine
assembling it. Yeah, but this is something you can do on BART to like pass the time and send to a friend.
Totally. And when you find some of these videos in here that are just filled with material to work with, I'm trying to avoid anything that's... Yeah. Okay, we'll do this one.
Controversial. Okay.
Yes, exactly. As any... stage actor.
Jeez. This is so weird.
I don't even know. As any stage actor hurries your craft. Sure, whatever. And then you just assemble it. And now Morgan Freeman is basically saying the words you want him to say. Like.
As any stage actor hurries your craft.
Yeah. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, that sentence I just put together. But. It could if I spent more time and I wasn't doing a review of it at the same time.
Right.
That's the point.
You have to think about it. You have to think about what you want these people to do.
This is really why it's a great app when you're being driven.
And then you can play it for the person that's driving him. You'd be like, can you believe what he just said? Bard Video Assembler. It's fun. It's free. It's kind of silly, but I enjoyed it. And I spent a little bit of time with it.
Way too much time, it sounds like.
A little too much time. Okay so let's see here. bit.ly/AAAvote306. bit.ly/AAAvote306. Everybody. No.
Bit.ly.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
AAA306.
Bard Video Assembler, email Fast Security, which you actually easily do. Hermit or Amazon Underground.
Brian voted for Amazon, by the way.
Video.
He just did it like.
We'll see what
happens. What's the link for that again, Jason?
What?
What's the link for that again?
Twit. Bit.ly/AAAvote306.
Close. We'll work on it for our rally, for our vote rally.
I never did make the cheerleading squad.
That's it. That's all we got.
That's it.
All done. But not before we say goodbye to Father Robert.
Thank you, Father Goodbye Robert, and here good today. Luck. Aww. Is there anything that you'd like to plug on the show before we go?
Well, how about this? You know, if you've ever thought about having a network like Twit on Know How, we're actually showing people how to build this entire studio for less than $3,000.
Wait a minute. How is that possible?
Kind of. Actually, yes. With the right number of cameras, I actually can give them a digital switching device, an encoder, something that will send out automatically to Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and a way to get both your like your laptops, multiple high definition cameras, and switch them all just like we do here at the Brick House for less than $3,000.
Dang, $3,000 not bad.
Yeah.
So think about where we were, Jason, 10 years ago, right? And compare it to what that cost to do that then compared to now, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's you could do some of that in software, but it was not very fun, and it was full of bugs, and it was not a. Yeah,
this is all hardware, and believe it or not, the entire studio fits into my backpack.
Nice,
so like a three camera setup that also has one computer that I can use for
screencasting,
and also a built-in browser, so I don't have to use that up for like all the links I want to open up, and a touchscreen interface so that I can jump back and forth between my shots.
That's $3,000,
$3,000
for only $2,000 more. You have what we have here at Twit.
I know, right?
Only $2,000 more gets you everything you see.
This domain.
People included, by the way. Come with the set.
We're cheap labor.
Twit.tv/KH. That's Know How. And, at some point we have to have Jason back on because he's going to have to do more cool stuff with us with RetroPie.
I'm going to have to.
You have to.
Which is fine by me because I'm always down to upgrade all that stuff. You know what I thought after the fact? I want to put a subwoofer in my MAME cabinet.
Oh.
Do you want to borrow my wristlet?
Do you want a subwoofer? Or do you want it on your wrist?
Huh? I hadn't thought about this, but that's an obvious solution for what I was thinking. Thanks for coming on. Always
thank
fun.
You. Thank you.
Flo, what about you?
You can find me at androidcentral.com, where all my writings are. This week, I will be reviewing the Lofo Basslet. Hopefully soon. And there's lots of stuff coming up. I will be at GDC next week. So if there's anything that you're interested in.
Oh, nice. Lots of VR, I hear.
I'll be there, yes.
Lots of virtual reality at GDC.
Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Snapchat at Oh That Flow.
Excellent. Oh, That Flow.
Oh, That Flow.
That Flow right there.
Flow.
Oh, That.
What about you, Ron?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at RonXO, where I'm talking about nonsense, but I'm also talking about my other podcasts. Go check out iFanboy at iFanboy.com, where we're talking about comic books every week, as well as movies, TV shows, all the fun stuff. We talked about the Lego Batman recently. We're going to be talking about Logan in March. It's a good time. And then, of course, if you're into Twin Peaks like I am, you can listen to me and Tom Merritt every week break down an episode of Twin Peaks on damnfinepodcast.com. And we're gearing up for the big season 3 launch in May. So we hope you'll join us. Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you, Ron.
And what about you, Jason Howell?
No, not me. It's Brian.
Oh,
don't you skip the...
Are you that upset at me for picking your app?
This is Voltron.
No, this is why I don't do Jason's job, because...
We're now Voltron walking around without one leg. Yeah. He has gone away. He's like, I'm out.
Hopping around with a team. Assembling.
And uniting.
Sorry, Brian.
Apparently I'm not
I didn't forget
team.
About you.
Forget the assembly. I'm going on my own.
You assemble the show every week.
It's true. Kind I'm of. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, you and really Brian will off. Form the head.
It's true. Brian is the head. It's true.
Pulling it all together at the end.
God, I love Voltron so much. Can I just tell you guys that?
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Anyway, when when I'm not being forgotten, I'm doing a show with Padre, like you said, Know How every Thursday. And it was a lot of fun doing it with Jason, having you on the show and stuff. So we'll have to have you back soon. But cool. Otherwise, everything else I do, you can find out on Twitter at @cranky_hippo.
Excellent. Thanks for all you do, Brian.
Yes, thank you, Brian.
It just doesn't feel real now.
It feels a little manufactured.
It's like Voltron without the head.
About.me/Jason Howell, yellowgoldmusic.com for music things. Before we do the music here, twit.tv/survey. Time is running out. We want to hear from you. We do a yearly Twit survey. for 1 month out of every year. This time it's February. So February 28th is the last day for the survey. If you want to tell us the things you like that we're doing, maybe the things that you don't like that we're doing, we keep all that information private. We don't share it with anyone, but it's really just about hoping to kind of enhance our experience so that you get exactly what you want out of the Twit content. So let us know, twit.tv/survey. And that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a video mail, AAA@twit.tv. I can't help but notice you don't send video mails anymore. I'm really waiting.
We're
very sad.
Yeah, bring it on.
Twitter, @AndroidShow. Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Share your stories there. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, all over. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
So good.